Habitat for Humanity's Tucson Veterans Build partners with military service members, their families, and the families of the fallen to build affordable housing. The Veterans Build program officially began in 2013 in response to grassroots habitat efforts to serve housing needs of returning veterans. How great is that? We are talking about empowerment, strength, stability, and self-reliance on today's podcast, so you'll certainly want to stay with me. Hey, everybody, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. And I'm thrilled to be doing the show today, and I don't say that lightly, and it's for two reasons. I am a very big believer in and supporter of Habitat for Humanity. And secondly, I happen to think the world of the guests we're going to be spending time with. So please join me in welcoming Roger Schuld, Colonel, retired U.S. Air Force. And Roger is the volunteer chairperson for Habitat Humanity's Tucson Veterans Committee. And I have to throw this in, Roger. You just let me do it, please. He also happens to be married to T. Van Hook, who is the CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. And I know that you think that's a wonderful thing, and so do I. And we're going to be talking about how small homes create big possibilities for veterans and all of the wonderfulness. And I don't know if that's a word I made up, but all of the wonderfulness related to that. And Roger, in retrospect, I think we should have called this show All in the Family, because it truly is the case in many ways. So I warmly welcome you and thank you for being here with us.
Well, Gina, it's my pleasure to be here. And, you know, I always tell people that one of the best parts about Habitat for Humanity, it is a great way to meet a spouse.
I love it. And T will appreciate that as well. And somehow before the end of the broadcast, we have to talk about what you do with holiday cookies. And I did get a little choked up, but it's okay. It's a pretty moving thing. So you are the chair of the Veterans Committee for Habitat for Humanity Tucson. And before we dive into all of that, just give us a sense of how did it start? It started in 2013. How did it become a reality for Habitat? Were you there for that, or what happened?
Well, basically where I became involved was in 2014. And that's just through my relationship with T. We had a lot of people and organizations who were looking to support veterans through Habitat for Humanity programs. So we started building, Habitat started building homes, one home for a veteran every year since 2013. And all the way up through this year, where we're actually getting to build two homes for veterans.
And in these challenging times, that is really good news, my friend. And I'm curious about, there are many programs, and I'm sure you support all of them. We're going to talk a little bit about Brush with Kindness and how Habitat really does build community, not just houses. And I am so a witness to that. But what about qualification? Is it disabled vets? Is it vets who are retired? Is it active duty? How do you qualify to be the lucky person and their family to get a Habitat for Humanity home?
A veteran, and that's who we target in the Veterans Committee, is qualifies under the exact same qualifications as any other person within Tucson would qualify for a Habitat house or services through Brush with Kindness or Major Repairs. And that's basically based on 80% of the median income for whatever your family size is in our area. And so we go out looking for those veterans who need assistance. You know, there's a big misperception by a lot of folks out there that all the veterans are retired and are receiving a pension.
Right.
That is not true. Less than 20% actually retire and have a pension. So you have 80% of the folks who have served out there who who received no military retirement, and a lot of those folks can use help, and that's what we're there to do. And they qualify from the exact same requirements as anyone else that would fall in that 80% of the median income category.
Except they're veterans, so that's a special category for them. I got it. What about, you know, I hate to bring this up, but what about spouses? If someone had a military career and they were killed in action, are spouses eligible, or is it really just for retired military themselves?
Spouses are absolutely eligible, and it's not just from being killed in action or anything like that. If you were married to somebody who was in the military and qualifies as a veteran, and again, I highlight that doesn't mean retired, as a veteran, they served in some capacity in their life, and we will reach out to those, because especially for our older veterans, they pass away, and the spouse is sitting there saying, "Now what do I do? You know, I can't fix the house. I can't take care of it like we used to when there was two of us." That's where we like to be able to step in and help.
So, what is, in terms of the committee within the functioning of Habitat for Humanity in the bigger picture, what does the committee actually do? Do you vet people? Do you, you know, offer support to the veterans in other ways? What do you see as the main roles and responsibilities for the Veterans Committee itself?
Gina, there's several things that we do. Probably the most important thing that we do is what I call outreach. So we go out to different events that there are going to be veterans at, and we present the Habitat for Humanity programs to veterans. And then what we do is gather their information and then turn it over to the people who work full-time at Habitat to go and vet those people for those different programs. So one is through outreach. That's just trying to get the word out that here's another way we can help veterans. We also go out, and obviously that takes money. So we try to raise money and look for donors, ways, because there seems to be and I'm very proud of Americans, because there are a lot of Americans out there who appreciate what veterans have done and are looking for ways to help them. And so when you go back to when all of this started, it was through people coming to Habitat who said, "Can we help veterans some way through Habitat?" So we knew there were people out there who were willing to donate services, donate their time, donate their financial money towards veterans. And we're just trying now to focus that and do that. And then what we do for building community is we reach out to active duty, guard, reserve, and veterans to say, okay, let's help veterans serve veterans. And then we go out and do the building, help in the building as volunteers alongside the Habitat regulars.
You know, I can't imagine that any of the listeners that have been with me for any amount of time don't really grasp the unified or the integrated approach that Habitat for Humanity Tucson takes. I don't know about many of the other ones, but you have this, you and I both have a mutual friend, another one, Kevin Walters, and he works very hard to raise money for the Rainbow Build, knocking on doors, calling on friends. I know I get emails from him. So to me, there's a wonderfulness. That's might be my word of the day, Roger. The magic in that is that people really do invest in the project. So I just want to say high five for that, because it takes a lot. You have to raise $160,000, and I know that because I know the model. So it's a lot of work. People don't pour money in from Habitat Humanity International to make these things happen. It's such a community project. So let's talk a little bit about another great project called Brush with Kindness. And if I can just share for a minute after you finish talking about what that is. I have a wonderful story about Brush with Kindness. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I believe veterans are also eligible to benefit from that program. Is that correct?
That is correct. Brush with Kindness is a great program.
It is.
And it focuses on what I was taught by T, my wife, was there's an aging populace out there. She calls it aging in place. People who already own homes, but they're at that point in their life where they just need extra help. Whether that's because they're physically impaired or fiscally impaired, you know, they don't have the money to keep it up
right.
anymore. They just need a little bit of help to keep their house in good working order. And Brush with Kindness is that one that's pretty simple. It's looking basically at the outside of the house for the most part, where, you know, we can paint, we can maybe add some gutters. In fact, I was working on a veteran's Brush with Kindness yesterday where we were putting up gutters on that person's house. We help with landscaping and those kinds of things. And it really is neat because a lot of these folks can't do the work themselves anymore. And that's where you see all these veterans and active duty and just plain regular people coming out and helping somebody who's in need.
And I just want to clap. Like, I seriously feel like clapping because what makes me so passionate about doing an interview with anybody from Habitat is my own personal experience. So Chapman Automotive Group in Tucson, we've done a home build, I think, every year for 5 years. They give a cash donation. We've had 50 to 60 people show up on shifts. Habitat accommodates them and does it on a Sunday because of, you know, in the car dealership business, you work on Saturdays. So last year, they have a Chapman Cares committee, and we kind of calendar out what we're going to do. So I said, okay, what about home build? And they said, you know, we really want to do something else with them. Is there anything else we can do? So here's, you'll love this story, Roger. So I said, well, they have this Brush with Kindness program, and I explained it to them, and I coordinated with Habitat. So people went to do that. And the things they said were, you can see the magic happen right away. It's happening. And the family that did it was a woman, an older woman, and she was lonely. And she talked to everybody who showed up all over the place. She just had to get a lot of stuff out of her backyard. And it was light work, but it was, you know, it was work. So this is the great part about it. So after they did that, and we planned for this year, I said, so do you just want to do that this year? And they said, no, we want to do both. We want to do a home build in November and a Brush with Kindness in the spring. And COVID interfered with that, but there'll be another spring. So I think that's just a tribute to it's team building for Chapman. It's giving back in service. But it was such a positive experience. And one of the things the people who participated said, when you do a home build, you feel good. We get a lot done. We work like dogs. And you don't see the house finished. But with a home Brush with Kindness, you see a human being or beings, and you get to see the magic happen right there. And, you know, it's a really good feeling. So I hope it's okay with you that I added that wonderful story.
It's a great story, Gina. And if I can add my own story to that, yesterday was just phenomenal when we worked on, and we did several things besides the gutters. But afterwards, the homeowners, who are relatively new to Tucson, had moved in and their house needed lots and lots of work. And the homeowner said, you know, we are used to being on the serving side. And that's the thing that I'm finding with veterans.
Yes.
It's hard to get veterans to come forward and say,
yes,
I need some help. Because by almost by definition, veterans have this servant attitude, and they're used to helping others. And so it's hard to say, I need help. Well, anyway, she was basically in tears because she says it's the first time in our life where someone has helped us. And it was such a gratifying feeling to know that we've helped these folks get over the hump. And that's really what it was for them.
And that's the part of building community, because I also know that when Habitat goes into a neighborhood, the community benefits in many other ways, seen and unseen. And one of the things you mentioned earlier in the show in terms of capacity building for communities, you're connecting veterans. You're connecting people who live and work in our community with each other. And that's the staying power. That really, really, really helps people.
When I got into this business, and when I say business, being the Veterans Committee chairperson.
Yes.
I had no idea what to expect. So when I started going to these outreach events, I was absolutely amazed and thrilled at the number of organizations that are out there serving veterans in Tucson. And what I found was that there were people who would come to our table and I would listen to their story and I'm going, geez, we can't help you here. But you know, that organization two tables down can. And that's the community that is happening. You know, for example, a lot of people get confused about homelessness and then providing the people with a home. There are many people that are homeless that aren't in a position to go to home ownership from the street. But there are programs out there that get them off the street and get them into a steady income and a steady thing. And it's at that point that we can step in from a Habitat standpoint and help them. So there are lots of organizations out there working together to get people standing on their own two feet.
And it's so affirming and such a feel-good thing that we all need more of. I know our Rotary Club is involved with a veterans program. And again, Chapman did a huge buying and collecting from employees for veterans that are being reintegrated into the community and they're having apartments for the first time. And maybe one of my favorites, and Roger, you said it, separation from the service is really, really difficult for many. It's the life they knew. And like you said, they were in service and they were giving and they were protecting our country. And now here they are out in this world, this crazy mixed up world of ours. So one of the programs I love, like TEP has a program, I love what I learned from my partners, where they do mentoring and recruit from veterans from people that are going to be veterans. They're still active military and they have a wonderful relationship with, I believe, Davis Monthan to help transition and get people job ready. And I've interviewed some of those men, mostly men and I think one woman. And, you know, from being in a chain of command in the military to being a very different role as an employee, I mean, it takes a lot. So my hat's off to you, my friend. What can people who are listening do to help? I'm so proud of our tribe, and people want to know what they can do to help. And I always say there's no check too small to write for something like this, because $5 can buy maybe a paintbrush. What are ways that people can get involved? And it'll all be on our website. Whatever you say, Roger, there's going to be links to it. So how can people help?
There are really two major ways three major ways people can help. One is if you see a veteran that needs help, contact us.
Wonderful.
And even if we can't help them, we will get them directed to the right veterans service out there that can help them. But, you know, a lot of us know veterans in our everyday life, and we see somebody that might need some help. sometimes they just, those people who need the help need a little help getting the help. And so if you can just notify somebody, and we can do that. There, you know, there's an organization out and called Tucson Veterans Serving Veterans, who is also, I mean, they're key to this whole community, because they help coordinate a lot of the different veteran services. We can get people to the right folks. And if that's us, then we'll do what we can to help them through our organization. The second thing is through volunteering. Now, under the COVID world that we're living in, we just started again being able to volunteer to help out in Brush with Kindnesses or major builds or major repairs. And so Habitat is basically trying to keep the sizes down. So the way we used to do it was go out, like you were saying, get 50 people come in on a Saturday or a Sunday and, you know, pound out a lot of work. That doesn't meet the current environment that we're in. So what we're looking for, and when I say we, the Habitat is looking for, are groups of less than 10 that will come out and work side-by-side with the Habitat regulars and work on either the Brush with Kindnesses or work with the on the builds and those kinds of things. The third way is, this all costs money. And you know, I've always told people when they've asked me to be on boards or they asked me to do anything, that I'm really not very good at asking for money.
Right.
What I can do is tell you how much some of this stuff costs. And you pointed it out earlier. It costs about $160,000 to get a Habitat for Humanity house built. If you want to give money to a veterans as far as building a home goes, you just say, I want to designate my money to the Veterans Home Build Program. And that money will be put in there, and it will go to a veteran's home. Same thing with a Brush with Kindness. Brush with Kindnesses are about $1,500 a piece or less. You know, that's kind of the dividing line between that and major repairs. If it goes over $1,500, you're getting into major repairs. And just $1,500 will take care of at least for sure one Brush with Kindness. The third thing that they do is that we do at Habitat is major repairs. And really, right now, Tina, that's one of the biggest backlogs that Habitat has. We have people that are in need. They meet the criteria. They're under 80% of the median income. And, you know, they need roof repair. They need air conditioning replaced. They need their electrical systems brought up to code, or they've had some kind of illness or mishap that they may now need help with ramps into their house or inside their house to make it so it's easier to get around. And those are going to be expensive repairs. And so right now there's a 3-year backlog.
Whoa.
In Habitat overall.
Whoa.
Not just talking veterans, but overall right now, Habitat has at least a 3-year backlog and be able to do major repairs of people we know that qualify and should have their house worked on if we had the funds to do that. Another way people can give.
That's right. You can give of your time. You can give of your money. You can donate to Habitat for Humanity's Habastore, because that helps fund the projects. I mean, there's always something you can do. And to me, it's kind of like I'm upping my ask with listeners, because I have a wonderful tribe. Mrs. Green's World has many, many, just thousands of listeners. And if you are in a position to give a little, do. If you can give a lot, do. If you can volunteer, do. Because unfortunately, let's be honest, folks, things are not going to get better. We have COVID-19, and there's going to be more and more and more waves of homelessness and bankruptcies. And I want to try to be on an up note, because if there's anywhere that I would like to live during these times, it's seeing what Tucson does to give back. We are a very good community about giving of our time and our service and our money. So I'm glad that you brought all those up. And we don't think for a minute, Roger, that I forgot about the cookie story, because I didn't. And the reason I want to tell it is because it speaks volumes about you and T, and I know it's your baby. So do you want me to brag about you, or can you just tell us what that is every Christmas? You get to decide.
You can embellish or do whatever you want after I started this about 20, 30 years ago, making cookies, and then having an open house to make those Christmas cookies. And you know, it was my and my family's way of just saying, we thank you for being a part of our lives and everything that you do. And so I brought that with me when I came to Tucson. And so, like, last year, I made 3,000 cookies.
Thank God you said the number. Like, are you kidding me right now? 3,000-some cookies, okay.
And there were 28 different varieties. I don't know how many people came to the open house, but I know after an hour and a half, we were basically had gone through those 3,000 cookies.
Oh my God!
So what we try to do is we encourage people to come and to just enjoy it. It's a great time of season to reflect on all the blessings that we have in this area, and we ask people to try the cookies, then go back to our little elves and say, "Here, these are the ones I'd like to take home with me." And so everyone can't get out of the, you can come into the door for free, but you can't go out without a box of cookies.
Okay. And I have yet to make it. I have been invited for numerous, many years, and I'm usually out of town with family. So one of these years, I am going to be knock, knock, knocking at your door. So before we wrap up, is there anything else that I forgot or anything else that you would like to say? I always like to give the guest the opportunity to throw in something that I may have overlooked.
Well, again, I just want to emphasize the point that you brought out about partnership in this whole thing. And I am blessed because I am married to the CEO for Habitat for Humanity, and I get to see the behind-the-scenes things that are going on. And especially during this COVID-19, there have been some amazing organizations and individuals who have stepped up to help people with rent, to help keep Habitat in business, to make sure that we can keep building. You have all of the Habitat permanent staff who had to, basically many of them reinvent themselves to go out and work on the house builds, where maybe before they were just doing office work or they were working in the store. There's just been an amazing amount of partnership that has gone on. The people that call T daily, who were regular volunteers, when can I come back to work? When can I come back to work? And that is, you know, when you're in this tough times that it seems that we are right now, I'm telling you, there's a lot of good hope out there, and there's a lot of people who understand the need to be one and to help each other. If you can see where somebody needs help, step in and help. And that's right. What I'd like to see. It's just wonderful.
And you know what? I think you're wonderful. So let's embarrass you on the air. It's okay. I'm very comfortable with that. So my last words of reflection are, I kind of feel that Habitat for Humanity is the poster child forgiving people in our community and around this country and around the world, because I've interviewed John from Bangladesh, giving people hands up and not hands out. Habitat changes lives forever and have what I call a ripple effect. You know, home ownership changes the cycle of poverty for their homeowners pretty much forever. So think about helping them. Think about digging a little deeper. Thinking about going to the bank and turning in your change jar. Think about volunteering. And think about the impact that you might have by brushing someone's life with kindness. I can tell you from my own heart, it is most rewarding. And I can also tell you that I believe we're blessed to have Habitat for Humanity so actively, so passionately working in our community and changing lives. So, Roger, this was delightful for me. It was much needed for me because I have to remember all the good things that are out there with the fires burning in Tucson, with the rising COVID cases, with many of my restaurant partners hurting. And we have to go on. We have to see the light. We have to go forward. And thank you, my friend, for helping me get excited again about all that. Because it's easy to go to the dark side these days. Let's be honest. There's a lot of bad news, and I want to live seeing the light. So thank you. Thanks for all you do for making our community and our world a better place. And my last thank you is always the same to our listeners, because without you, there would be no us. Roger, thank you. And do give my love to T.
I will do that. And Gina, you know, the reality is, it's people like you that get the word out that make that partnership work. That's what I have found, is I'm always amazed at the people who will just, it seems like they're calling out of the blue, but they're not. It's because somebody's prompted them somehow. And you're one of the greatest prompters we have out there. So thank you for everything you're doing.
It's really nice to say.